Hi and welcome to What's Next. I'm Therese, your host, and I was trained to be an architect. I work as an architect, and I started this podcast to talk about what's next in the fields of architecture, design, and technology. Facing topics such as climate change, artificial intelligence, and where humanity's place is in this fast-moving world. I hope you enjoy this week's episode, so have fun listening. Good morning, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine, I'm super fine. Ready for this.
Perfect. Then we start with the first question.
Okay.
Who are you? Please introduce yourself and the studio.
Okay, my name is Maximiliano Aduki. It's a good question. Who am I? I'm an art visual artist. I'm creative director for advertising. This is my daily job. The studio is called The Company Studios. We are in Milan. We found this place as a creative agency, and then slowly we are trying to become an art gallery. We call it a creative hub, you know, creative research hub. We are trying to connect different fields that touch art in some way, put it together and build, at this moment, site-specific projects here in the space. And the name born from this word that has been... The word company came from the late Latin compagno, that it means one who eat bread with you. So when we get this idea, we get really excited with this project of just putting people together. So for example, the last exhibition, we have people from 11 different countries, and it was really, really nice to see what is happening, you know, in different places, and how can at the end, you know, we are not all the same, you know, but we can find common places. So this is what we are doing right now, like developing this project that is called The Company Studios.
Before we get deeper in your work, I have some warm-up questions for you. Okay. And the first one would be, what's your favorite drink? Alcoholic, non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic for sure. I never drank any kind of alcohol in my life. Never ever. No. I'm like a beer chin in that. I never drink alcohol. So let's go with no alcohols. And this is more, this is more problematic because my favorite drinks are coffee. I can get as much coffee as I please in a day. Italians go crazy here with me because, you know, they have rules for everything. And they say, no, coffee after 4. It's like, no, let me tell you the truth. I drink coffee before go to bed, like this level.
So and you already reached the level that it doesn't work for you anymore.
Exactly. I think that I'm immune to this kind of beverage. And then I have a worst one that is Coca-Cola. So imagine. And I'm still alive.
And really energetic, no?
Yes. I think that, I always say that I'm like a kid, you know, I always have this excitement for life, you know, I just woke up and once I open my eyes, I just need to do something. And even like this, I still not feel that I need it, but I really enjoy to drink coffee. It's more like also the moment, you know, I'm more like ritualistic, like the Coca-Cola, yes.
Also a little bit of water. On the side, no?
No, that's the problem, if I'm being honest. So, yes, you're meeting a robot.
So actually, right now, you're dehydrated.
I'm sure. I'm not feeling it, but I'm sure that, yes, I'm dehydrated. Yeah, this is a problem. People tell me, like, you need to drink water, and I need to be so honest. I don't like water, you know. But you will say, but I have no taste. But I think that maybe that's the problem, you know. I have this, in my life, I met people that have the same problem. Maybe it's not a problem, but there's a lot of people that don't like water.
Maybe with a little bit of juice.
I think let's see what 40s bring, you know.
Yeah.
I think that for now I'm still alive. But
if you could develop a skill overnight, what would it be? What would you wish for? It can be anything.
Oh my God. I think that the wish would be to have a magic wand, so then I can make my wishes come true. But it's really hard, the question. But I don't know. I think that the best can be like to come to, how you say, like to realize whatever I'm thinking, you know. I think that it's most like to come do it. The other day that girl told me, like, you are a doer, something like this, like the concept. I never hear about that word, you know, but it's true. In Spanish, people told me like some concept like that, you know, with other words, but I think that I love to do. So for me, my superpower should be like, okay, the possibility to really do it, you know. So everything that passed from my mind that just became true, you know. And it's always related with physical spaces or projects, you know. And I think that maybe when we want to develop anything in this field, you always need people, you know. At least you are just a Picasso or someone that just deal with their own canvas. But in my fields, or mostly advertising, architecture, you know, are fields where too many people and with different skills are involved. So I think that this is the hardest part of our work, you know. So not depend on all these people can be amazing, you know, just push a button and make the building or make the exhibition or make whatever it need to be. I think that, yeah, the bottom to concrete.
That's a nice wish.
I hope it can choose someday.
What's your favorite hobby?
My favorite hobby is to travel, definitely.
Where was the last place you traveled to?
It was Tokyo. And yes, I went in last October to Tokyo. That was my last trip. I went to Japan itself, so I traveled to Tokyo, Naoshima, Osaka, Kyoto, kind of that travel. It was
business
amazing.
Related or vacation?
I always say that it's always business, you know, involved, mostly because my lifestyle itself. So I went for holidays. I tried to celebrate my birthday every year in a different place. And last year was October, 5th of October. I'm a Libra. So I said, okay, let's do Tokyo. Tokyo was closed for so long. So I was like hoping that moment came. They opened before my birthday. So we went for holidays. But at the end, I start to get in touch with a lot of people. And now I bring a bunch of friends from Tokyo. So it was nice. I'm always doing business, you know. Like, I love to meet people. So I think that is my favorite hobby.
It's also a good skill to be communicative and...
Yes.
Making connections.
Yes. I always have this feeling that I don't want to miss anything, you know. So sometimes when I go to places, I hate to feel like a tourist, you know, like my description in my Instagram is flaneur, you know, so I like to know which street is better, you know, I always fight with my husband when we are traveling because I never follow the Google Maps, and sometimes it goes well, and sometimes it goes really, really wrong, and we walk like so much more, for example, but I don't like to follow the common ways, you know, so...
But doesn't this way of living also gives you a lot of pressure? That you always think, oh God, no, I cannot miss, I cannot miss, I cannot miss. And then it becomes hard at some point to just stay home for one day and don't do anything.
I can't.
Do you do this? Do you stay home sometimes and you just watch Netflix?
Yes, yes. At home, yes, but not when I'm traveling.
Oh, okay. So you can divide.
Yeah. At home, yes, because, well, luckily I can decide, you know, whenever I work or not. So I work as a freelancer. So my days is like, they don't have any meaning, you know. For me, a Monday is a Sunday or a Sunday is a Wednesday.
That sounds like a dream came true.
I try to go with my mood just because, you know, like, I work with my mind. This is something that I always try to explain to people. It's really, really hard for people to understand that, you know, when you are a creative, or it's not something fancy or wannabe to say, you know, you really need to deal with your moods. It's hard when you really need to be positive or creative, you know, and you are not feeling well. So for me, it's important to give my times, you know, to follow my times. A lot of times it happened to clients, you know, that I call them and I say, sorry, I'm not feeling really well. So I will be useless, you know, in this moment. So it's important for me to always be clear on it. Like, but yes, sometimes I stop myself but even when I'm sitting watching Netflix, you know, like for me, it's terrible because being an art director, I'm always checking, you know, like how they build the scene and, you know, like all this stuff. So at the end, I think that because my career is really hard to enjoy a movie, you know, to see it from a kind of more naive way, you know, I'm always like thinking, you know, what happened, or checking the extras, you know, people that work in the background. I'm always like checking them to see if the continuity is right, you know, like, okay, yeah. I think that I never stop. This is my answer. No, it's hard for me to stop.
And what advice would you give younger people that are stuck in this wheel of office work and coming home and doing the same the next day? What advice would you give them? Because they think, okay, I have to pay the rent, I have to pay insurance. On the side, working, yeah, as a freelancer, it's also not that easy to find something safe. How do you do that? And at the same time, they also want to do something on the side for themselves, to become self-employed. Or what advice would you give them?
Well, I have a nice story for this. let's start with the story. I have a friend that I start to work as at 20s, like officially on this, you know, like worrying about my portfolio, my career at 20s. Most of my friends, maybe they don't have the needs at the time to work, so they start late. And I remember this moment with a friend that he already have 34, you know, and he told me, how did you do this? And I say, my answer was, I have no idea, like for real. Because the point was like, I always were focusing on do what I like the most. So my option was never to find a job from 9 to 5, you know, like it was never an option for me. So it was really a decision, you know. So I don't know how to go out. First, my first advice is do not leave your job if you don't have anything, you know. Sure, where you're going to park yourself in the future. That's the best advice that I can give to you or to anyone that is listening. But I think I always, after this, you know, I told my friend, like, just see yourself doing, you know. I have this philosophy that if you wake up every day and you do something, you know, even if it's little, you know, but if you do something for this future that you are trying to reach, that moment will become true someday, you know. Of course, you need to be good, and you need to know also where are you playing, because, you know, the rules in the freelancer field is really different, you know. Like when you go to your job, there is a lot of securities that you have, even in unconscious, that are there, you know. But once you get in the street, you know that, you know, dogs bite and, you know, this kind of stuff, you know, you start to learn how it really works. And so, yes, for example, like I have this this example that I decide to create a studio in a moment where I really want to get a structure, you know, so then have employees and this kind of stuff, you know. So I automatically 1 year later, I decide to back off, you know, because the structures have a lot of meanings that maybe they are not related with what you really want to do, you know. Now, for example, like my partner, the guy with Ruggiero, I started this project of the company studio with him. Now he decided to go to live in the hills, you know, in the countryside. And he told me something really, really nice that he said, I don't want that the money came from what I love, you know. So if you are really set in this mindset and you really understand that you're going to work just for money, then you can back home and do your pleasure, you know, and put all your energy in that and don't spend the energy in places where it's not appreciated or where you feel that you are not developing yourself, you know. So my first advice is, okay, don't jump on the pool if there is no water. You need to know that for real it's more hard, you know, it's really, really hard, but it's worth it, you know, because even if you fail, I think that you fail for yourself, you know. And so I'm like this, you know, people here told me, I think that the culture in Italy is really different. I came from Buenos Aires, from Argentina, where it's a place that if you don't run, you get shot, you know, like not literally, but you need to move, you know, and you need to always have options and develop new skills. So there is something in the air already that make you be better and make you be more ready, you know. So this is the point. So for example, if you are working in a company and you're a graphic designer and you're just dealing with the computer, it's okay. But outside the world, you know, there is a lot of more to deal than a computer, you know, these people. So, well, my advice is wake up, do whatever you love, even if it's little, but one step by day and you will get it. You will find the key to open the door and escape of the cage.
Did you teach all the skills that you have right now to yourself, or did you go to classes, or how did you do? Or just in your room during the nighttime watching YouTube videos?
This is a question that is literally attached to do not drink water. That is I hate lessons. I don't like the passive situation, you know. I can't. I think that is you start to realize at this point that, you know, like I'm always so curious, so I always try to learn, and I don't like to depend on other people. So I don't know, for example, the first moment that I decide to have my website, okay, I learn how to do a website, you know. Every time I want to learn something, yes, YouTube or anything like that. And I also get really inspired, but I love to watch talks. Like I'm an addicted to talks. I like to listen to other stories, other people. So I think that this is my way to learn. Like I try to learn. You really need to be, you need to have around people that make you grow, you know, where you can learn. So this is my way to learn. It was always like that. Like I always say this story, you know, like when I have like 18, I work as a cashier. I was working as a cashier in a cyber cafe. Mm-hmm. Remember that moment? I don't know how young you are, but there were a moment where there were computers together in a place where they also pour your coffee, you know? So I was working there. And it was funny because every time that someone came to the place, I always say, like, I'm an artist, you know? I was telling the people because it was really, like, it was a nice place where this store were, so the people was cool, and this is how I start my career, you know.
How does your process, your design process, look like when you do something with the studio?
Well, It began in my mind mostly, and also in this particular project that we are developing here, as I told you, like the main role of the project is to just to more listen than saying, you know. So we get people together and then we start to bring ideas, and then we start to curate that ideas. But for example, like the last exhibition that we show here in the studio, it became kind of famous because people was really interested in the way that we set their works, because we use materials that normally in museums or exhibition or any setting of this kind, people hide these materials, you know. We just put it in your face, just on the artwork, you know, like, I don't know what, foams or, I don't know, this kind of material that you can see if you check the pictures of the exhibition. So all of this, for example, we realized it in the moment that we were doing it, you know, so somehow was not planned. So then we were there and we found a piece of material, and then we start to create all the setup with this pink foam board, you know, that was amazing, and everyone get crazy then. And then they say, but how you have this idea? Everyone were like so excited with that. And we say, like, we just have, you know, 10 by 10 centimeters of this thing that came from out of a box of another stuff, you know. Yeah. And then I know the goal, but I try to do not, I don't like to put so much in the process of thinking, you know, because it's better to find a way in developing, you know. But this kind of project, of course, if you need to do a building, you know, you can decide, okay, in the 5th floor, I will start to decide how it's going to be the 10th floor, you know. But in this, is more like that. I know that where I want to go, but in the meantime, I know that I will find a lot of stuff. Even myself, maybe it's different, you know, from when I start. So the process is doing, literally, it's like, this is my way to think.
And are there themes for your installations, or special themes that are more important to you than other themes that you would like to show the world, and from this you collect the artists that do it for you? Or,
well, now we do the exhibitions that we did, like, were not curated by me. I just curate the curators. I curate the people, and then the decisions were made all together. But I don't have a theme. I think that what's inspired me is kind of myself. So I have the process like an artist, but I also don't like art that is so deep in the feelings of the artist. So it's kind of a mix there. But I try to talk about my own experiences, you know. For example, now I buy an art piece, an artwork that is an sculpture, you know, like that is like the gravel stone, the sculpted stone from the Bible, you know, like this kind of stone. And it have, the sculpture is the code of an NFT in the stone. So I bought it because the artist said, okay, this is my NFT, you know. So it's a stone, like literally, it's a physical artwork, you know. And for me, this is like the topic, you know, like what is happening in society when an artist takes something from there and make a, not a joke, but a statement, you know, like making something different or changing the perspective. I think that there is where I'm more interesting, you know. Like this last exhibition, for example, when people enter in the space, we tell them that we are in the year 3000. Mm-hmm. We were not in 2022, which was the real moment of the exhibition. And also the bios of the artists were writing like they happened in the past, you know. So all these artists were dead, even if they were in the exhibition, you know, by So the topic of the exhibition was called When Time Dreams. So it was about this idea of that, why we have this idea that the time is always just going farther, you know, like for the future, why we can't think about a timeline that is in the same time, you know, past, present, future. So this was the topic of the exhibition. But I like to take this highlights from our culture and our conventions and ideas from the, I like to work with the paradigm, you know, like make questions there. Now we launch an open call with the studio that is called What's Growing On. It's just because that we don't want to put a theme. We want to know, we want to listen, you know, okay, what's your worries today? So what's the topic, what the theme that you think that we need to highlight today? We are getting really, really cool stuff for now.
And what importance has nature in your project?
Well,
in terms of climate change, for example.
Yes, yes. Well, one of my favorite artworks in the history of art is this ice watch that Eliasson Olafur did in, I don't remember where it was. Maybe it was the center of London. I don't remember. Well, but it was this ice, you know, that were melting in with the days. And so it's like a physical experience of what can happen, you know. So this... I think that nature is there to teach us, you know, all the time. I'm a big fan of the Chinese zodiac, you know, that we are related with the characters of the animals and also the I Ching, you know, that all the experiences and all the learning is comparing with the nature, you know. Okay, this is what happened in nature, so this is what should be happening to you or something like that. I think that nature is always there. But I'm more interested in the human nature, you know, like, I think that this artificial nature that we create, that is not artificial just because it's digital, you know, it's artificial because it's made up. So our believings, I think that this is the nature where I'm, when, which I am more interested in. But at the same time, we... this Ruggiero that I told you that he go to lives in the hills. We are trying to do a site, a land art project in that hills. So now we are working with some projects of land art. So I like nature. I want to be more in nature. We like to work more in nature. My last installation that I did in this palace in Buenos Aires 2 years ago, the original artwork was designed to be in a beach in Pantelleria, that is an island between Africa and Italy. This artwork, for example, have like 14 high meters, and it was this stone in the air. I would like to work more with nature so much, but for now I didn't have the possibility till today. Let's see, but I would love to. To touch it more, you know.
How do you find the artists that take part?
I'm scrolling 24/7 Instagram. Mm-hmm. I have no problem to talk with anyone, as you can see. So I just write them and say, hey, I love what you do. You know, I think that it's nice to get feedback, you know. People in social media, sometimes they feel like if you are doing something nice, they are putting themselves, like, you know, to expose or whatever, you know. So I also like to get feedback from people. So I like to thank, you know, people just for being creative, you know, because everything we saw inspires us. So at the beginning, it's just that. It's like, thank you for doing this. It's really cool. And then we start a relationship, talking, and this is how we get like all these people from all these countries. That year, it was amazing, the experience, because, you know, sometimes you are a really real fan of someone on Instagram and then you say, oh, they will never reply me or whatever. But it happened with some people. Yeah. But there is people that is also like you, you know, just waiting for the moment to do something together. So this is, for now, this is how we met the people, like Instagram or friend of friends, you know, this kind of stuff. Of course, for me, it's really, really important what are we showing, because I think that that's the big line of this project, is to curate in a certain way. Even if we don't have a theme, there is some kind of art that we want to show or some kind of art that don't. But for example, in the last exhibition, we have two archaeologists and one geologist, for example, doing artworks. So it's not just the art world itself, you know, that is something that I always reject. I don't really like the environment, you know, of art. But it's not the artist. It's just this circus, you know, that they create just to survive. So I try to always not call a gallery, you know, the space. It's really hard to find categories in any project that I create, because it's always a mixing or a crossing of something. But always with this intention, you know, that trying to change the perspective in what we are doing. So I forgot the question again.
So you cross boundaries with all the...
Yeah, I try. Yes, there is walls that are harder than other ones, but I like to cross the walls. Yes.
If we take a look into the future, how do you imagine the future working and living space, like 50 years from now? How do we live and how do we work?
I listen a lot to this podcast, so I have a lot of information that I were listening about this. And the other day, listening one, I was thinking about like, I think that the idea that we have in our minds, no, like how we grow up watching cartoons or movies, you know, I think that these ideas of the future are from another time. I arrived to this conclusion. I think that we need to give us the time to think, what is the future today, you know, because I think that this came from the late 60s, 70s, you know, 80s. We fantasy, you know, we get exciting with bombs and weapons, you know, and big spaces and high buildings. Like, I really never understand why people need to live one above another one when we have like plenty of empty spaces, you know. Like, for me, it was always like a big question. My family is full of architects, like a lot. And it was also a career that I really want to study. But then when I was more excited with the imagine that I study audiovisual design because I want to make documentaries for National Geographic. So imagine, you know. So everything goes other direction. But going back to the future, I think that this, you know, we need to really ask ourselves today, you know, I don't think that the future is really how movies show it, you know, like I hope that we can reconquer the lands, you know, and not to build too much, you know, maybe take what is there, you know, something how like I did with my spaces, you know, this space was another stuff, you know, was an old hanging factory. So now it became an art gallery. I think that there is a lot of plenty spaces. For me, it's more creative, the process of restoring or redoing than creating from scratch, you know. I think that there is something ego. There is a lot of ego when you create something from nothing. And I think that is more interesting, the process where you can, you know, there is a lot of projects today that we can see on Instagram or in websites, you know, these people that is, okay, using a part or using a ring, you know, using something that is already there. I would love that the future of architecture was that, you know, like developing knowledge to reutilize, you know, I would like that, you know. Of course, I always dream, you know, with the supersonic house and, you know, to live in the air. But then it's really hard to go to buy cigarettes if we live in the air, you know? Like, no.
But do you think it's possible to fly to work then?
Look, I don't drive, so I can't even go anywhere by car. So I don't like machines itself. I have car sick, so since I was so little, I really, really suffer the machines to travel or to move around. So I hope we are not flying to go to work. No, I hope we are going in biking, you know. I hope that we go by bike.
Okay.
Yeah, no, because, yeah, no, I don't know. I like this fantasy of the future, you know, but I think that it's going to be uncomfortable, you know. It's like the same excitement that we get when we get social media, you know, and then now it's a mess. No one understands the shit, you know. It's like, I think that it is nice to have this fantasy, but maybe we can build a city, you know, like that look like Gothic city, but just one, you know, one to go. It's like a Disneyland. Let's make a park of the future and then let's live like normal humans, you know.
Okay. So you want to stop the time and in one certain place there you can play future, but we live on forever like now.
no, like now. I don't know, like I think that in terms of spaces, maybe architecture should stop in the 50s, you know, for me, just how I feel or how I like it, or maybe I'm a time traveler and I'm still there, I don't know. But I've been a lot in China, for example, and it's too huge, everything, you know, like too much glass, you know, like, I don't know. I have this feeling that it's not cozy, you know? And then you saw these pictures of the south of Italy and you say, oh, I would love to live like this. Yeah, but you're living in a cube of glass, you know? So I don't understand, you know? If you really want that, let's think about that, you know? Let's think about how to have a better life, a better quality. I don't know. I don't want to stop the time, but I think that is so sexy, the idea, you know, that we can have a farm and then go home and have a computer station and be connected with another galaxy, but at the same time, you know, it's like we don't need to be concrete on the soil, you know. Maybe we can have half soil, half concrete, you know, or I don't know. I think that is the main idea, is like, I think that we need to really rethink, you know, where are we going, you know. I think that the future as we saw it today is the dream of another generation, you know. So even if I'm that generation, you know, but I think that it's old. I think that new humans have better to say, you know, but they need time to get in the microphone. So it's always like this, you know, somehow it's always kind of delayed there. We are never going to match, you know, the needs of the day with what is developing, because it's developing from, we are changing all the time and so fast, you know. So I have no idea what to say, like, what's the future, you know. But I hope for example, something that crushed me when I went to Naoshima and this, all these buildings of Tadao Ando and the museums, and there was a moment where they told us, okay, the museum is closing, and we checked the time and it was 4 p.m. And we say, like, why? And they say, because there is no artificial light in the museum. And then I was like, you know, all the artworks, everything was like with the natural light. There was no installation of lights in the rooms, you know? So for me, this was like, okay, this is the future, you know, like the architecture is just following the sun, the light, the environment. I hope it became that, you know, more like real. But imagine that in Hong Kong or Tokyo, how you do, you know, how you make arrive the light from the 19th floor to the ground floor. Like, okay, so I think that there is too many stuff that to get together to to define a future of architecture, but I really know that architecture have like a huge role in this, you know.
It's I think architecture should go, architecture of the future should go back to the actual roots.
Exactly.
In order to become.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't want to live in a Dubai, please. No. I don't want to have 80 years old and live in this, you know, terrible. Also, the cities start to look all the same, you know, mm-hmm. mostly in urbanism, you know, like the furnitures, you know, of this kind of stuff that they do for public spaces start to look like all the same, you know. It's kind of Black Mirror situation, and I don't think that is because there is no architects working on it, or maybe these architects that are working on it are really, really into that, you know. Something that I never did, in a, something that I don't like, is to search for references, you know. Like when I need to think about something, maybe the ideas came from different places, and maybe these places have nothing to do with what I'm developing. But I think that the reference is a big problem, you know. What Pinterest bring us is like, okay, we can be clones, you know, mm-hmm. it's just that. And I always say to people that work with me, I say, you are not allowed to use Pinterest, you know, for anything, you know, not even a moment, a minute in your life, because there is when you get in the bag with all of them, you know. So somehow it's happening that, you know, like, okay, I learned this mostly because coming from Buenos Aires, you know, people, they never like really value the talent there. So they go to, okay, they say, okay, we're going to do this piazza because it's the same like in Madrid, for example. And I say, but why we don't do ones like this, more like us, you know, like, because I don't know if you know, but we have a president in Argentina that is called Sarmiento, mm-hmm. long, long time ago, that he say, we need to be like Paris. And he never been in Paris. But he was convinced that we need to look like Paris, you know, that Buenos Aires need to look like Paris. So Buenos Aires is a city that is built, giving the back to the river, you know, so you are not watching the water. And also, at that moment, the houses have huge kitchens, you know, because they go to this central markets to get the vegetables and the meats, and they have these spaces in the house to put all this together and cook, you know. And then you go now, and we have these buildings that literally they came in pieces in boats, like from France. And you have like kitchen that is 2 by 1 meters, you know. They say, but why? It was not a city. We have too much space in Argentina. It was a city that it grows up when they can grow, you know, mm-hmm. like farther, I don't know how to say. So it's so important to have in mind the environment, you know, not just the nature, like the culture also, you know. Mm-hmm. When you go to a place that is like, I don't know, so traditional, and you find this modern shit there, that is saying, but what is this doing here, you know?
No, I can perfectly relate to this perspective.
Mm.
Unfortunately, we reached our last question.
Oh. Let's keep it. Tell me.
Last question. What means to be an artist for you personally?
Wow. You know, that is fun, but I never consider myself an artist,
mm-hmm.
just because all of this mix of answers before, you know, mm-hmm. like...
As what do you consider yourself?
I'm a doer. I think that I'm someone that, you know, I like to mm-hmm. do. I can't stop to do, basically. So if it's an artwork, I think that it's a decision of the context, you know, but start as a need, you know, or as a feeling or something that as a wish, you know. But for me, what I'm thinking that I'm giving to this world is the fact of the perspective, you know, I think that an artist can see it through, you know. An artist can see stuff or feelings that maybe most of the people can't. Not because they can't, it's just because they are not focusing on it, you know. Mm-hmm. But what the artists do as a job is like, okay, find these patterns or talk about these feelings. So I guess that for me, it feels good to have this opportunity, you know, like just to be there to raise my hand and say, hey, let's watch this, you know, hey, let's think about this. Think that for me, this is the most important. I never, every time that I do shows by myself, like as an artist, I always do different stuff. And I don't have like a line of paintings, you know, or a style of drawing. I just, it's kind of a site specific, but more in a conceptual way, you know. Mm-hmm. So I've never developed so much my artworks. So for me, it's more like, it's an attitude, you know. For me, being an artist is more like, it's an attitude, it's a way of thinking, and it's something that we really need in this world so much.
Yeah, that's right, we need a little bit more thinking. That's mm-hmm. a really good quote to end the interview. Yes.
Okay, let's get it. I hope
so. Thank you so much for the talk.
Thank you.
It was really interesting, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me. And well, I hope to see you soon. You are always welcome here.
This was this week's episode. We really hope you liked it as much as we did. If you have comments, suggestions, critique, please let us know. And till next time on What's Next. Ciao, ciao!